I think at some point, everybody listening to this has or will deal with some kind of loss, whether it's a loss, and not just death, but a loss of like a friend or a boyfriend or girlfriend or a close person in your life. Like, you have to let this person go for whatever reason. And in my life recently, I had to deal with this with a breakup. And breakups are very tough. Anybody who's been through one, they know. The first one is definitely the worst. And I can sit here saying that this is officially my first, and it sucks. I can testify to it. So I know there's a lot of people. I mean, we're 19, Tony, 20, right?
True.
Most people our age have been through a breakup or are in a relationship right now. And if you're in one, God bless you. Hopefully you can stick with it, and hopefully you make it through. My relationship I was in was 3 years long, or just shy of it.
It's like being married.
At that point, yeah. 3 years, a long time. Started in my junior year of high school, and it ended about a month ago. And it's tough. Reflecting all that, it's tough. But through pain comes a lot of growth. So right now, I'm just trying to focus on growing out of this, and not like making this heartbreak the wind behind my sail and not my anchor, because you can use it either way.
You ever get angry? I just want to know. Like, I know it's a little off topic, but do you ever get angry?
It depends.
Okay.
Sometimes.
But it has happened, right?
Yeah. Okay. Of course.
I just wanted to know.
I remember I had the same exact conversation with Buzz. We were on our way back from his camp, and we got into this conversation. He's like, "Do you ever get angry?" I'm like, "It happens." He's like, "I've just never seen you or Drew like raise your voice." It happens sometimes. I mean, I don't know. We don't really lose our temper very often, because I don't know. I think I speak for Drew as well. We've just found that that's never really the best way to deal with things.
No.
Because one of the biggest things I try and pay attention to is not regretting what I say, because there's nothing worse than saying something and then like a half hour later thinking back, you're like, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that."
Can't take it back.
It's not the best thing. It's so bad. I hate it so much. So I really try and avoid that. But to get back on the topic, I agree with Drew. Everybody, whether it's a death, a breakup, something, you're going to have to let go of somebody at some point. And for whatever that reason is, maybe they just, they're so far gone with cancer, they can't really be treated anymore. Or maybe you guys have gone so long just dealing with each other's garbage that you just can't take it anymore. Whatever the reason is that somebody has to be let go of, everybody's going to have to deal with it at some point.
And it's been a long, tough road. It's been a slow decline. About 7 months of just what ifs, questions. Pretty much even way before this podcast even started is when the beginning of the end started. And I've been unhappy for a long time. It started back in October, not really sure what happened, but, things between us just got very distant, very cold. Sat down, we tried talking about it, nothing ever changed. And eventually it just got to the point where I wasn't getting good sleep. I wasn't eating a lot. It was getting really hard for me to function on a day-to-day basis, holding on to this somebody who I kept hoping would come back. And eventually we just, in my head, I came to terms with, we're going separate ways. She came to me the one day and she said, "Yep, I'm going to be dorming at college. I'm going away." And at this point, I'm like, we can't even make things work here. Like, we're not going to be able to make things work while you're away at school. More power to her, though. I mean, she made a decision based on what she wants to do, which is great, but it just wasn't working out.
I mean,
do you feel that you're more unhappy now that you're just out of the relationship, or do you think you were more unhappy in the declining relationship?
What's kind of funny about that is I saw a video on Instagram, which actually, it made a lot of sense. And usually videos on Instagram don't make a lot of sense. But
no, because they're on Instagram.
Exactly. But this one actually did. And it was a girl just talking in her car, like just preaching her mind, I guess. And she just made a good point of remember why you did what you did. Mm-hmm. And she said very often people let go of other people.
Yeah.
And what happens is when you lose something, you become grateful for it. You become grateful for what you lose. So when you lose this person, you tend to look back on all the fond memories you had and not why you did it in the first place. So you don't remember all the pain that you went through. You just remember the good times. So that's what happened to me. Let go of her, and immediately I remembered all of the good times that we had, which really mm-hmm. sucked. But it's a nice reminder that smile because it happened and don't cry because it's over, and B, we're on to bigger and better things. We learned a lot, we suffered a lot, but we learned a lot. We grew a lot from this, and now I'm coming out of this with a better idea of what I want going forward, a better concept of who I am. But to answer your question, I'm definitely like, it sucks now that uh-huh. I'm not in a relationship. It sucks. But at this point, like beforehand, there were so many questions of what if, are we going to be dating next week? Or when am I going to see her again?
That's just too much.
It's way too much. It's so mentally straining.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you're going to burn yourself out just thinking about it.
And believe me, I did. There were so many times where like, I didn't even feel like seeing people. Like I can't even sit in my room because when my room was finished, and anybody not listening or anybody listening who doesn't know us personally, we finished our basement in our house in October, which is right around when this happened. And my room is in the basement. It's a really nice room. I'm super grateful for it. It's a nice space. But as soon as all this crap started with her is right when I started going in my room. So right now, all the memories in my room are bad memories. So I hate being in there because like I sit in there and like I just think of everything that I've gone through over these last 6-7 months.
If I need an Xbox.
That's why I'm looking for an Xbox right now, so yeah. I can have something nice in there. And like, just
yeah.
I'm trying to make it. It was a space where I stressed out a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's better about to kind of piggyback off of what Tony asked, I think, and this is what I found, when you're going up towards the breakup, that like last 2 weeks there, that's the most unhappy you're going to get because you're tiring yourself out.
Well, you're peaking.
Yeah,
you're peaking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're tiring yourself out with all these what if questions. What if this happens? What if she finds out I told this person this? What if I'm ranting to my friend at a restaurant and that's her uncle? Like, you're just so stressed out about everything.
Yeah, that's just too much. It's just overthinking everything. That's going to be the death of you after a while.
But once you get past that breakup, you have your answer. It's just a matter of when you're going to get over it. Because, like, I remember personally in my shoes, after that happened, it was like, okay, yeah, I'm still like not necessarily in the best spot, but now I have an answer. So I don't need I don't need to tire myself out with those questions now. All I need to focus on is new habits in a new environment. So it kind of frees up a lot of mental space, which does.
Like I finally, like Dean said, I have closure. My buddy, you guys have heard us mention Chip on the podcast. I was talking to him a few days ago, and he said that it's really important for you to find closure in yourself because you can't look for closure in other people. You'll never get it. And I was like, you know what, man? You're right. Like, and that's what I'm trying to do right now. And I think a lot of it is being found right now. It sucked the last few days, but I found that each day that goes by, I'm getting a little bit better, a little bit better, and a little bit better. And you know, I'll catch myself worrying about like what Dean was saying, like what happens if this happens or this happens, or what if she says this or what if this happens.
But it's all arbitrary.
Right.
It's all just, you know.
Exactly. And it's like, well, it's not my problem anymore.
No.
It doesn't matter. She can do what she wants.
Yeah.
It's just nice to finally like, it sucks.
Well, sure, everything's, and change sucks. That's the problem with change. It's tough. The
last 3 years of my life.
Yeah, especially for something that long. Imagine getting divorced. Oh, like actually divorced, like after like a long marriage.
Yeah, I know.
25 years. That'd be hell.
Couldn't imagine.
But, terrible.
I mean, so there's always someone in the worst spot, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, don't be afraid to take that leap, you know, because you kind of had to take that leap. You kind of had to make your decision, put your foot down, whatever you want to call it, and say, all right, the hell with this. I've had enough. It's time to move on. And you might be sad now, but I can already tell you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
You're a little bit more, you're definitely relieved. You know, you feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulders. You seem a little bit less depressed, maybe.
Yeah.
Just overall talking to you, you seem a little bit better.
There's a little bit more pep in my step. That is true. But there is one big thing I learned from this, and it's people make time for what's important. And I say this to everybody. Everybody's I'm a firm believer in it myself. People make time for what's important, and she did not make time for me. She made time for her friends. She made time for school, but she did not make time for me. And I'm sorry, but if I was that important, I would have had time, but I clearly wasn't a priority. So that was stressing me out. And then she would tell me that I'm important, but she wouldn't act like it. And
That's kind of like playing with your head. It's a head game right there.
Right. For a long time, she loved me desperately with her words, but not with her actions. And it didn't mesh. So that was the big thing I came out from this whole time was people make time for what's important, especially people. And if anybody listening, if you have somebody in your life that you haven't said hi to in a while, say hi. Go see somebody that you haven't seen in a while. Do it for me, please.
Yeah, you make time for what's important. Drew and I were taking a real estate class. I don't know, maybe like a couple months ago now. A couple months ago, we were in a real estate class, and one of the big driving things that she pushed in this class was everybody's got time, and she said 1440. Her name was Nan. Great lady.
Love
1440.
Nan.
There are 14 40-minute time slots in a day. So you're telling me...
1440 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, you're telling me you don't have time for this, even though you've got 14 40-minute time slots in your day. What else are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you could be working.
Well, yeah, there's obviously...
But I mean, if you're just sitting around, bum, you know, not doing anything.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing, though. It's like everybody complains about how busy they are. But once you kind of put it into perspective, you've got time for more things than you think.
Yeah, like if you really want to do something... you'll make time for it.
Absolutely. That's a given.
And like, I can't even tell you how many times I was going through this in October to now. Yeah. I'd be working with my buddies at work and we'd close. We'd get out at 9 and I'm like, okay, what do you guys got going on the rest of the night? He's like, oh, I'm going to go home, you know, hit a quick workout and go hang out with my girlfriend for a little bit. I'm like, 10 at night? He's like, yeah, haven't seen each other in a little bit. I'm going to go hang out with her, spend some time with her. I'm like,
yeah,
man, like, are you serious, man?
Yeah, like, if you care about something, you put time into it. It's just like this podcast. Like, nothing's forcing us. There's no divine force coming down from the heavens saying you will meet every Wednesday and record a podcast. It's because we all care enough to meet and put some time into what we've devoted some time into already.
Like, I think it's just a force of habit now. It's like,
well, yeah,
I know this is a habit. Booked,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like that habit was built because we care about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that hanging out with somebody should be a habit, but it just goes to say when you find something you care about, person, thing, whatever it is, you put time into it because you care about it.
Yeah.
And anybody who tells you they don't have time, they are 99.9% of the time BSing you.
Oh, yeah.
Almost always.
And that's the thing. I was always told, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. And then she'd be with her friends. It's like, okay, well, you have time. You're just not allocating it correctly.
Yes.
And well, in your mind, correctly.
Right.
In her mind, she was fine.
That's a fair point. In my mind, that's not right. But, and that's why I eventually drew the conclusion that we just want different things.
That's okay, though.
That's okay.
You don't need to be a perfect match with everybody.
No. Nope. And
it's fine.
For a while, that's what we were going for. But, I mean, she's going towards college, heading away. She plans on getting super involved. So even long distance would not work. Like, you know, it just wouldn't.
People grow and people change. And if you think about it, you were in your junior year of high school. And what was she in her freshman or sophomore year?
Freshman. Yeah, she was two grades behind me.
Freshman year of high school. You remember your freshman year of high school, right? Absolutely. Okay. Now look at your senior year of high school.
Yeah.
You're like a completely different person. You're not even remotely close to who you were at that point.
Right.
So many things happen over the course of 4 years, even in those 4 years for you. Are you the same person you were when you were a junior in high school? Absolutely not.
No.
You've already grown. You've already learned so much from then. And you've matured so much over the course of 4 years. You can't expect someone to be the same in what is arguably, you know, a very important part of their developmental life.
Mm-hmm.
You're still roughly adolescence. I mean, you could technically say you're a teenager, but you're not an adult.
No.
You know, you're caught somewhere between a boy and a man. You're not really a kid. You're not an adult, but you're in that period where you're, you know, easily influenced. You change a lot. Your body changes a lot. Your mind changes a lot. Your thoughts change a lot. You're exposed to more.
Right.
Asking someone to stay the same over the course of those 4 years, it's hell. It's impossible. It's not even worth
doing. And that wasn't my expectation. I wasn't making her, you know, be who she was 4 years ago. That's impossible.
No, and I wouldn't picture you to do it. I'm just saying that it makes sense in my mind that what was compatible back then isn't compatible now. Yeah. That makes sense to me because of that, of what happens in those 4 years. Not so much for you necessarily. You change in a different way.
Right.
You're maturing and you're changing, but it's different from maturing and changing from a freshman to a senior.
Right.
It's a different kind of change. It's a different kind of maturity.
Right.
So realistically, it would have been great if it had worked out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it kind of makes sense, and it's not that hard to see why something like this could happen.
Yeah, and I understand that. I knew, like, as it got closer, senior in high school, started making different friends, college decisions, she wanted to stay, but she eventually decided, hey, I want to go, and good for her. Like, I always told her, I'm proud that you made a decision based on what you want, because for a while, that's what she struggled with. She struggled with making decisions based on what she wanted and more on what other people wanted her to do.
Yeah.
So I was thankful that she did that, and she'll hopefully be happy. I wish her all the best, but people either grow together or they grow apart, and we grew apart over time, and that's okay. That's all right. I mean, it's like I said earlier, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm the happiest man alive right now, because I'm not, but it's definitely, it's nice to wake up in the morning and not worry about, am I going to text her today? Are we going to see each other soon? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? What's going to happen? I can finally just wake up and go, okay, it's done. And for a long time since October, my head has been so noisy, so much noise up there with just things going on, especially with her and what's going to happen. Now I wake up, and there are days, where I wake up and I'm sad, but it's not as noisy anymore. And when it does get noisy, it's easy to just say, well, that's not my problem anymore. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah. I can just, if she wants to do this when she's away, then I won't hear about it.
The long distance relationship is so tough because you're always wondering what the other person is doing. Maybe if you lived in different cities, you know, if you lived in San Francisco and she lived in New York, that's, you know, however many miles, it's insane. But think about it. If you're, you know, already mature, you're older, you're involved in a job, a career, probably not as much to worry about because you'll be changing quite significantly at the same time. So if it doesn't work out, it'll probably be a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. But imagine staying home, working a job like you.
Right.
And your girlfriend or boyfriend, depending on who you are, goes off to college. I mean, how could you trust somebody at college? Like, regardless of your relationship, oh, we got the best relationship. We got, you know, we got everything figured out. We're perfect for each other.
Especially in today's world.
No mistrust. It's like, I don't care who you are. People are easily tempted. People are easily swayed. Things happen. And it's not that you should feel that you need a watchful eye over somebody 24/7 while they're not around. But how could you realistically trust somebody? I mean, it's almost impossible.
It depends who you are.
Yeah, like, it depends on the relationship. But
I've got a friend who, they're off at college right now. She goes away. He's at home. But they're going to be celebrating their fourth anniversary this year.
Yeah.
So there's situations like that where it's been 4 years. Like, the trust is there.
It's there.
And I know them both very well. And that's not going anywhere. And there's rare situations that are like that, but I get what you're saying.
Overall. Yeah,
they're good for each other.
But to kind of backtrack a little bit, like what Drew was saying about your head being noisy, like, and it kind of ties into what we were saying earlier. Once you clear up that situation, you get your clarification, you could argue closure depending on who you are. You kind of get to focus back on the basics. Like, I'm like Drew, when I get stressed, I don't eat. And when I'm stressed out, I don't eat. I don't know what it is. Some people eat a lot. I don't eat at all.
No.
So I remember being in his shoes, wasn't eating. But I remember the day I got my answer, I got it in like 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
That night, I went out with a friend of mine and I ate my first like whole meal. Like I was hungry enough to eat my actual first whole meal in like a couple of weeks because I didn't have to think about that anymore. My mind wasn't drained of all of its energy anymore. I actually had time to allocate to other things. So
I can't imagine that. Eating that long.
It's tough. Like I would eat things. Like I did not eat, but like I'm talking full meals.
Yeah.
Like Drew remembers it too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it sucks. It's weird. And it was a big learning curve for me. But it definitely molds you into who you become. It kind of builds your future. And I don't want to say everybody should go through a breakup, but you learn such a ridiculous amount about yourself through a breakup. And yeah. I get that sounds stupid, but I mean it. Like you learn so much about how you operate, how you think, how you perceive things, how you react to things, how you shouldn't react to things.
And what you want.
Yeah, and what you want, it's ridiculous. And you kind of go into your first relationship kind of thinking like, oh, like this can't be that hard, right? I mean, just don't cheat on him and everything should be fine. But
wow.
Well,
I feel right there in a nutshell, actually.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people go into their first relationship thinking, how hard could this be? Just don't cheat on him. Give her everything she wants and it should be good.
How can you give someone everything they want?
Well, exactly. You come to find that out. And then you come to find out when the honeymoon phase ends, a relationship becomes actual work. And that's, I feel like I've talked to Chip about this a lot. I feel like that's a big misconception, especially these days with like Instagram and TikTok and all that. You see a relationship through a screen and it's like, wow, they have it awesome. That's all it is. But like realistically, this is generous too, maybe the first 4 months of your relationship, if you make
it's
that far.
It's usually about like the first 4 to 6.
Four to six months.
4 to 6 weeks.
I mean, yeah, it depends who you are. But
that's
like,
when it's like really strong, and you can usually drag it out 4 to 6 months of just people, no problems, everything's all right. And then once you get past that threshold, especially once you get to like the first year, that's when you start to have like...
Well, that's when it becomes actual work, and you can guarantee by a year into your relationship, for better or for worse, you find out who you're with. Like actually, facades off, who you are with.
You know,
and maybe you've come to find out at the end of that run, we're not compatible, and that breakup's going to suck, but maybe you come to find out at the end of that year, it's like, wow, I do really still like this person. I'm still physically attracted to them. They're going places. They're going far. And that's awesome too.
You know how you avoid that?
Being an incel?
No, just don't make a relationship last anything longer than a couple months. Forcibly end it.
Well, I guess you shouldn't wait a year, I don't think. If you get to the end of that honeymoon phase and it starts becoming like hell...
Or even while you're in that honeymoon, sometimes you realize it in that honeymoon phase.
Yeah, I mean,
phase,
it depends.
Like,
but as soon as you find out...
I just swore on the podcast.
As soon as you find out...
Proud moment for me.
That person brings more problems to your life than solutions, it's time to break it off. And that's going to suck. And I feel like it's hard for a lot of people to run away from that because they feel like they don't have any other options. When you don't feel like you have any other options, you feel like the only option is to stay with the person who's actually giving you some sort of attention.
Yeah, and that's especially hard in your first relationship.
Oh, yeah. I fell into that same trap, too.
Yeah, and you realize quickly when you're out of it, like, you can make it that way. You can make it that way, but it's a mindset.
Yeah.
There was another big thing I learned while in the relationship. It was my first year, and... I was just like Dean. When I get stressed, I don't eat. So I was super stressed because for a long time I was unable to say no. And she was like walking all over me. She didn't realize it, but like she would just ask me to come over all the time. And I would because I couldn't say no. And I was missing out on time with my family, my friends. And it wasn't ever anything she realized, but it was something I realized. And it ate at me over time because I was starting to kind of... I didn't lose any friends, thankfully, but I was starting to. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, it was right after our first year that we were dating. And our buddy Carter sat me down and he's like, Drew, you need to start saying no. It's like, not even just with this relationship, like everywhere. Say no to people. It's not a sin. It's not bad. Just say no. I was like, tight. So I did, and I got my appetite right back. I stopped stressing out so much, and life was good for a good while. But that was another thing, too. So I know we've touched on this before, but so many people are afraid to say no. Nobody wants to say no to anybody.
Yeah.
It's important to, though. Get a spine. But
get a spine. Wow.
I guess to wrap it up.
Surgically implant that?
You could. I have two spines.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, I actually have three, and I added an extra one while you were busy trying to think about starting a business. And then in the time that you were thinking about the comment I just made, I started a business.
Just to wrap it up, heartbreak sucks. don't ever get your heart broken.
Yeah.
Stay woke, kings.
Yeah, stay in your room and never leave. Yeah. Exactly. That's the point of this episode. But nah, I mean, don't.
I'm mentally ill.
don't put everybody under an umbrella. Be open to new things, new relationships, and all that. It's important. But to wrap this episode up, we really do appreciate everybody who listens. We say this every week. I think we've said it about 24 times now. So
we might have.
Yes.
And you know what? Like I was just thinking about a great way to be more open. You know what that is? Listening to more of our podcast episodes.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Actually, shout out this guy that just found our podcast. Hopefully you listened to the end of this episode. He said it was very good, and he's very happy that he stumbled upon it. So be like that guy. Shout out that guy. You know who you are. And listen to the podcast. Do the survey if you're really feeling it that night.
Yeah. If you're getting into it, and you're about it, hop on that Google form.
Get that survey done.
What's going to stop you?
You know what? I want everybody listening to this who has a significant other, use this as an excuse. Go to their house, say, hey, babe, let's hang out. I have a survey to fill out, and I want to do it with you. Fill out our survey. That'll give you an excuse to hang out with your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Bingo.
Yeah, that works.
Thank me later.
Thank you.
Adios.